Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today, we are back into the dungeon, Dan. And we're crawling. No, today we're starting book two of Dungeon Crawler Carl. I think it's called Carl's Doomsday Scenario.
I think so. It's by Matt Dinneman.
So make sure you've read book one and listen to our episodes before you get here.
Gotta do it.
Today we're up to chapter 15, so we're doing half of the book for today's episode. But first we got to get a little bit warmed up.
Of course.
I just got a big life change for me.
Oh yeah.
This week, Dan. I moved to California.
That's right.
Congrats, huge thing. So, I'm finally a woke lib.
Yep. Who's got $1 billion? Because that's how much it costs.
That's right.
Pretty cool of you to brag.
It's pretty cool. But I want to talk a little bit about the moving process. So I moved for a job, right? Mm-hmm. And my work gave me a stipend for moving, so I could spend up to a certain amount, and it was like for that, right? So if I didn't spend that, then like I just lost it.
Yeah.
So I decided, like in the past when I've moved, because I've moved like across the country multiple times.
Yeah, we're academics. Well, I guess you're leaving academia now, but.
Right. Both of us have moved a lot, moved states and everything. So usually when I like move to a far away place, I like sell everything I own.
Yep.
And then start fresh.
And then you go to IKEA when you get there.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. This time I just brought everything because they were paying for me to ship stuff. So
yeah,
that was awesome.
Totally.
The biggest thing that I want to stress is hiring people to load and unload is amazing. Like, oh boy, it's awesome. Because I've also helped a lot of people move.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that sucks.
Yes, it does. Moving. This Luke, you make such an important point here because I have yet to be at a point in my life where I have hired someone, like a company, to assist me in my move. Like,
yeah,
not yet been there. Every single move I've done has been me and a bunch of boxes, and usually some like friends that I can get to help me out. And it has sucked so much every single time, to the point where I get to the stage where I'm like, do I really even want to move? Like, could I just stay? Do I have to?
Yeah.
Because it's terrible. It's one of the worst experiences a modern human can... Well, okay, I won't say that, but...
So I had a bunch of boxes, a bunch of furniture, loaded it up into like a shipping container, right? And then that got shipped over, and then people unloaded it into my new apartment when it got to the new apartment. Amazing. Took like an hour on each side. Here's my question, Dan. When you have the people in your apartment helping you load or unload, do you help?
Yeah.
Because this was like, this was like a really awkward thing for me that I couldn't figure out if I should be helping them carry stuff. Because like, ultimately, I am paying them to do this.
Yeah. This is really tough for me because I would have the urge to help them. I would be like, I can help. This is not a specialized skill. And like, it's my stuff. This feels rude to not help them.
It but felt Luke, very rude. Yeah.
I think that that is a feature, that's a facet of how we have moved every single other time in our lives. Because you are pointing out something important here, which is that you are paying them to do this job.
Right.
Like if I hired somebody to come clean my house, now this is also a weird thing, but I think it would be weird for me to also clean my house while they're here to do that. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. Like, for sure.
Like, and this is another situation where it does also feel weird to be there when it's happening. It feels weird to have somebody clean your house while you're there because you don't know what to do with your hands, essentially.
Right. Like, are you playing video games while they're like dusting behind you?
Yeah. And that feels bad. Like, it just feels bad. Because here's the thing, Luke. It feels bad because you're like, what about the series of choices I made in my life mean that I get to just sit here and play video games while this person cleans my house? A job I could do. They don't have specialized training for it. In fact, I probably am slightly better at it, at least initially, because I know my house.
Sure. I will say, because, okay, you, like, the moving part actually does take some skill.
For sure.
Especially, like, well, okay, the other thing is that, like, they have tools that make it easier.
Yes.
That I would not have. So, like, it would make no sense for them to load up, like, four boxes on their hand truck and to tow it out, and then for me to, like, separately carry a box. Like, that's kind of what, like, made me be like, okay, I'm not going to do this.
Yes. Yes, but there's a big problem here, Luke, which I think is different from when somebody's cleaning your house, and that is, I can't sit on my couch and play video games while people are actively trying to move my couch and TV into a box.
Yeah.
So aside from the, like, you know, I could help with this task, there is also, what do I do when people are trying to move everything out of my house into a box?
Yeah, that was the big one. It was literally just like, I'm not, because I carried like some small stuff.
Yeah,
just because whatever. But it was literally like, okay, I'm not going to help because I am paying for this service. But what do I do?
Yep. Yep.
And I kind of just hung out. And
I think you have a couple of options here.
Yeah.
Option one is to leave. But that feels wrong too.
Yeah, because I feel like I want to be able to like
see that it's going okay.
See that it's going okay. And then like if they have questions or something.
It's a bad option. I agree with you. It's a bad option.
There's not a ton of good options. I will say, on the other side, when it's being unloaded into your apartment, that's much easier because you can like busy yourself by like setting things up.
Yes. I will say there's another option for how to respond when they're loading up. And I think this has a lot of aura to it.
Okay.
Here's what you do. You get a folding chair. You get a big jug of lemonade. A couple of paper cups and a book. And you just sit out on the front lawn reading your book. And then after a little while, you offer them some cold lemonade.
Okay.
Have like a little break. You chat with them a little bit. And then after you have your little 15 break with your lemonade that you've prepared, you know, you say, now get back to work, you lazy people. And then you go back and read your book on the front yard, in the front yard.
That sounds good. Yeah. I think that's a good strategy. The more disrespectful, the better.
Yeah, but you gave him the lemonade, so
the lemonade makes Once you do lemonade, things. you can say anything basically.
But I do think, Luke, lawn chair on the front yard with like a book or something.
Yeah,
that feels to me the way to do it.
I agree.
Because you're out of the way. The lawn chair can go like in your car.
Yeah.
When you're ready to go, book small, right? Or I guess you could bring like a Switch, like a Nintendo Switch, if you really are a big game head, if you can't read a book. But I guess if you're listening to our podcast, you could read a book on the front yard. So I'm going to say that is a valid strategy here.
I like it. I like it. I'll do that but next Luke, time for sure.
This is such a challenge, and I just want to say that I support you. And
thank you.
I'm here with you. I'm here with you every step of your journey in this. So,
yes, that should tell you how awesome it is that was like my concern. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, big picture idea here. Just if you're gonna move, just hire people. It's incredible
stuff. Yeah, it's good. I will say, you gotta have a good stipend to hire people.
Yes, you do.
The stipend matters, because I've definitely had a moving stipend, and the stipend was for like it covered boxes and the gas in the U-Haul that I rented. It was definitely not hire movers kind of stipend money, unfortunately.
Okay. Next time.
But we're getting there. We're moving on up.
Moving on. Okay. Speaking of moving up.
We're moving down, actually. That's okay. Right.
We're going further down into the dungeon. Dungeon Crawler Carl, book 2, up to chapter 15.
Yeah, Luke, we have to start with the elephant in the room here.
Okay.
So, what's our rule, Luke, about if somebody dies?
If you don't see the body, they're not dead.
If you don't see the body, they're coming back at some point. Okay?
Yeah.
There is another rule that was violated here. Not violated, but has been set up. Our punchline has been set up. And it's only a matter of time before it gets knocked down. And that punchline was set up when it was revealed that the NPCs in this world have their minds wiped and a fake history implanted into their minds. And they don't know that they're a part of this dungeon world.
Right.
Luke, come on. You know that there is a good chance they did this to Carl, right?
Oh.
If they did this to an NPC.
I did not realize that's where you were going with this.
Carl claims to have this backstory, right?
Mm,
what?
Okay.
How do we... When Carl heard this, if I am Carl in this world and I hear that they have the power to wipe your mind and implant memories and give you a whole new mission or whatever the fuck, I'd be like, oh shit. I'm like a main character in this right now. Am I real? Is this real?
It'd be hard not to have an existential crisis there.
I feel like that's the more reasonable. Like, I feel like it's more reasonable that you are fake, like that your backstory isn't real, than there are like humans spread out throughout the universe that are like colonizing other worlds and stuff.
Right. I mean, once you hear, even setting aside the knowledge that they like do this in the dungeon.
Yeah.
Once you hear that this is just like even possible.
Yeah.
Then it's like, okay, well, I'm done now. I'm having a meltdown for the rest of my life.
Right. The rest of this dungeon is me sitting in a corner being like, am I real? Was this real?
Yeah. Yeah.
How would I even know?
That would be devastating. Because they could just like, they don't have to go do new worlds every time.
No, this could be a rerun.
Technically, he says, okay, there's rules, Dan. There's laws.
Luke!
Right, that they would never break.
Says who?
Oh, damn it.
Luke! It never ends. It all comes back to what they've told Carl.
Dude, lying is such a destabilizing thing. It's impossible.
Lying is OP. It should be banned, honestly.
I know, right?
Nerf lying, please. Somebody has to patch lying out of the game.
It's just, you can't do it. If you're gonna be a society, we can't do lying.
Stop lying now. This is said as a footnote, but I am just waiting for the moment when Carl or somebody realizes that they got mind wiped and that their whole backstory that we've been led to believe is real is not, and they're actually an NPC the whole time. Especially considering we meet an elite. Do you remember? We meet this elite who's on a quest.
Yeah.
She thinks that she's like the star of the show.
Well, wait, no, she doesn't even know that it's a show.
Correct. But she is like, she has main character energy, right?
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
So does Carl.
Right.
The more I learn about this world, if I'm Carl, the more I'm like, ah, oh, fuck. I'm probably one of these NPCs, huh?
Yeah. At the same time, does it make you feel a little bit better, even?
Ooh. Well, in some ways,
because then
maybe.
It's like, well, I probably won't actually die.
Yeah, but isn't this a hell worse than death? Because like you're spending eternity in this dungeon now.
Yeah, that'd be really annoying.
It's not fun.
Especially if you don't know it's a dungeon. Like if you knew it was a dungeon, maybe it's fun.
It's not though, because all your friends and family died to create it and all the other people.
No, because in this scenario, that part's fake, right?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
We're getting too circular, and it's going to get confusing.
But this gets back to my original point. The point is, if there is mind wiping tech, it all gets circular and confusing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, is Carl real or is he an NPC? Who knows? We certainly
tough
don't.
To say at this point. Impossible to say.
Literally impossible for us to know.
Okay, that's yeah, big takeaway from that section is no lying and no mind wiping. Mm-hmm. And we can have a society.
That's the only way.
That's the only way. Okay. Let me do a meta thing here.
Yeah.
So as I mentioned, I was moving this week, and I tried to do audiobook for the drive.
Ooh, okay.
For this book. And I love the idea of audiobooks. Mm-hmm. And I just cannot get them to work for me. I just like, it's so frustrating, and I don't know why, but I just like cannot get into a book on audiobook. This one was interesting because this is like, you know how they do the like stats or the like item descriptions?
Oh, yeah.
He does like a weird metallic voice for it, which I understand. It makes total sense why you would do that.
Yeah.
Because it's like an AI thing.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't do it. I was like, I'm out. if audiobook listeners, let me know what you think about audiobooks for like this book or other lit RPG kind of style books. I'm kind of intrigued because a lot of these have like, it'll be like a stat sheet.
Yes. Yes.
And item descriptions and that kind of stuff. And I struggle to see how that's doable in the audiobook format, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about voices. I feel like I can do voices in my head and they're good, but
yeah.
As soon as I try and hear somebody else do voices, I'm like, that's pretty cringe, guy.
Well, it's also like, especially if you've already read one book in the series and then you get to the audiobook and it's like, that's not what he sounds like. Yeah, that's like, wrong. Oh,
come on. Try again.
Obviously, he sounds like the voice in my head. I struggled and had to go back to the book. Anyway, that's my, I feel like I do this like once a year or something like that where I'm like, try to do the audiobook and I couldn't figure it out. Anyway. One of my earlier notes that is kind of evergreen for this book is that Mongo,
okay, yeah,
the pet dinosaur,
mm-hmm.
is the best.
Ooh,
my favorite character.
Okay, we do love Mongo.
Yes.
I think Mongo is great. I do have a concern about Mongo.
Okay.
How is Mongo going to catch up on levels? Because as it stands, they have to basically protect Mongo. Otherwise, he's going to get eaten.
In the early levels, yes.
Okay. as we go on, the levels get harder over time, right?
Right.
So there has to be a certain point where Mongo is leveling up quicker than everyone else is, right? Because otherwise they're going to get way over leveled. Like if Mongo is able to catch up with the level of enemies on whatever level of dungeon they're at, that means they are going to be higher level. Like they're just going to be crushing it.
Oh.
Because they're all earning XP at like now. It could be where when you're a lower level, you earn more XP and you level up more quickly to potentially catch up. Like maybe that's the system they're working on. But if not, then because Mongo's earning XP with our party, Mongo's like 10 levels down from the party, right?
Well,
he's like level 10 and I think Carl is 18 right now.
I think by the end he's... I think Mongo at the end of this section is like 12 and, okay. And Carl is 18 and Donut is like 16.
Okay. Okay.
So I do think there's something to like the XP is scaled to your... Or no, because you... The amount you need per level is lower at a lower level.
Right. And you're saying the enemies on deeper levels of the dungeon give more XP. Is that what you're hinting at?
For sure, okay. I assume. But also, like, if they kill a boss that has 300 XP or something, and they each get 100, that brings Mongo up more than it brings the other two up.
I see what you're saying.
And at some point, they asymptotically approach even. But...
Right. He never actually catches them, but he gets closer more quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
But also maybe they feed Mongo more enemies to give him more XP or something.
Oh, I see. They do a little farming.
A little farming. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm more comfortable with that now, but I was concerned because for the like first half of this book, they're constantly like, "Ah, oh, gotta protect Mongo, gotta protect Mongo," and I'm like, "How long before Mongo protects you?" Okay.
Well, part of this though is like less protecting Mongo and more reining Mongo in because Mongo will just go attack everything.
Right, but to me that's the same thing because they need to protect him from himself in a way because if he goes and attacks something, it's probably higher level than him and will just smush him.
Well, I thought that this scene was more of like he'll attract. They're trying to be somewhat stealthy.
I think near the middle and end of this section, that started to be the case. Yeah. But at the beginning, Mongo is like level 4 or whatever.
Yeah. Well, Mongo shoots up in this section.
You're right.
And does protect Donut.
Yes.
Granted, from the like janitor mobs.
Yeah, so from like the easiest mob of all time.
Kind of weak sauce, yeah. Mixed bag.
Yeah.
It almost dies. Yes. But.
But we do love Mongo.
I'm all in on Mongo. I think the big thing here is that the author went big on like giving Mongo like dog characteristics.
Yes.
But making him a dinosaur chicken, which just works, I think.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's also very funny that the cat has a pet dog, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Great, great animal kind of relationships here.
We love it.
I said this on the Discord, which is that there's... Like so this book is like one of the most famous of the lit RPG genres,
yeah.
Which is like not particularly mainstream, but this book has become fairly mainstream. And my take was initially that I think like the talking funny cat, Princess Donut, if you will,
yeah,
is like a big draw,
yeah.
But I do want to say, like, as I read more of this, it is genuinely like really, because I've read a decent amount of lit RPG.
Yeah.
And this one is like very well written in comparison.
Yeah.
And also like very creative.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the more creative books I've read in a while, I think. in terms of like story and just like what's going on.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. The only lit RPG I've read is for the pod. So just like the Cradle series and this and a few others. But I do think that the creativity here is really good. And I actually think that the donut stuff is a little cheesy. Like it's starting to get a little cheesy for me. I think the author is recognizing that, and the dynamic is changing a little bit over time as they talk about Donut like maturing.
But it's a
little bit slow for me. But otherwise, like everything else is really great. I've actually seen people reading this in public. Like I've seen people in like coffee shops and like restaurants multiple times. Oh, really? Different people reading this and been like, great book.
it's kind of crazy.
So yeah, it's wild. But yeah, I agree with you. The creativity here, really good. Really great.
Yeah.
I do think that Matt could work on the balance though of his game.
Balance of between what?
Well, so Luke, we've got these stats, right?
Yeah.
And one of the main ones is charisma, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why I would put points into charisma is because I can like manipulate people if I have high charisma, right?
Yeah.
But we learn that the counterspell to somebody's high charisma is to just break your own finger.
Right, naturally.
That seems way too useful. Like, if I can negate, let's imagine I encounter another player that's like fully maxed out in charisma.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is remember the break my own finger trick, and then their whole shit doesn't work on me anymore. We're not like strength, right? Like if I max out strength, I don't have like a secret little button I can push that's like, now you're not strong anymore.
Right.
But like it's just easy to defeat high charisma, it feels like.
Yeah, especially if this works like all the time.
Well, okay, here's the thing. He applies it to the case of this elite that he encounters, right?
Right.
Then they get back and Donut isn't able to command their like sort of like chef Bobka. NPC, the Bobka. Yeah. Donut isn't able to control them anymore. And the first thing that Carl asks is, oh, did our manager teach you the finger breaking trick? And he was like, no, he gave me a potion.
Right. But Carl could just be wrong about that still working.
You're right. But it feels like it would apply here too.
Yeah. I don't know why it would apply, like why it would work forever though. Like I could see it working in like a one instance, right? Like to suddenly break concentration or something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But no way it would be like, and then the next morning when I saw them again, like that's still working.
Right. It feels way overpowered. It also feels like, here's how to balance it, Luke. Here's how to balance it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can't heal it.
Yeah. Because heal makes it inconsequent. Like there's no drawbacks to it.
Right. So you have to break a finger. I'm going to say you got to break, no pinky breaking. You got to break a thumb, a forefinger, maybe a middle finger.
Okay.
You got to break one of those three.
Or the other two together.
Or the other two together. And as soon as it heals, then it stops working because you don't have the distraction of the horrendous pain that you're in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair.
You're at a bit of a disadvantage for it, right? Like you trade out this for a disadvantage.
Do you think that it's specifically the pinky? Like, because presumably it's just like pain. Like sudden pain, right?
Well, he says it's a finger.
Yeah, but is that just because like you need a certain amount of pain and like the pinky is like a easy quick thing to do though?
Well, I don't think he said a pinky, right? Are you talking about Carl's decision or their manager's position? Like,
well, what does he tell him to do? Does he just say break a finger in general?
I think he just says break a finger.
Okay. Because I feel like you could do kind of anything that makes you, like, feel a sudden pain thing.
Stub your toe.
Yeah.
Paper yeah. cut.
You can't slap yourself, though, because that, like, you know, everyone knows that if you, like, pinch or slap yourself, it doesn't hurt as much.
Right, because you're expecting it.
Yeah. but it is a little bit of a cheat code. Yeah, we got to nerf it.
Nerf it.
Or make it just like, or make it just be like super temporary.
Yeah. Like you get a 10-minute cooldown. Like there's a 10-minute window and it has a cooldown, like a 1-hour cooldown.
Right. Yeah. I think that's better. Mm-hmm. Okay. a little bit earlier, actually, this is kind of at the very beginning. So they get down to this floor and then they have to make their racial choice.
Yeah.
And their class choice. I'm assuming you've done plenty of these in video games.
Yeah. And role-playing games.
How would you have a hard time with this decision?
I would be there for hours.
Yes. Okay. I hate having to do this in video games. Like, I like the concept of it because, like, I want a choice.
Yeah.
But then when it gets down to it, I'm just like, could you just actually tell me what to do? Because I'm going to take forever and I have to read all the options.
Yep.
And then I have to, like, strategize. But I know that it doesn't actually matter for me because, like, I'm going to end up just playing like I want to play anyway.
Yeah. I'm going to be like a stealth archer regardless of what class I choose. I'm just going to be sneaking and sniping right. people with arrows and
right.
Yeah.
So I want someone to just like choose for me.
I see. Because the thing about like choosing a race and a class is it puts you on a path, right? Like once you know what those two things are, you could be like, okay, here's my strategy. Here's what I'm good at. Here's what I got to lean into. Mm-hmm. And I do think that they, you know, they provide recommendations here, which makes sense yeah. to me. I think it's wild that, I think it's crazy, honestly, that our two main characters, Carl and Donut, go outside the recommendations.
Yeah.
In both instances.
Yeah.
Like they do choose, I guess, classes that are in recommendations, but you gotta optimize our racial bonuses too.
Yes. There was just so many options. They were like, they had so many choices.
Yeah.
They could have done. I will say, I think aesthetics would play a big role.
Huge.
In my choice.
Huge. Huge. Are you kidding?
And so you could narrow it because they have some weird ones that yeah. that you'd narrow it down pretty heavily from.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there should be a filter on this that's like, doesn't look horrible is yeah. one criteria, important criteria.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about this before, Luke, but I do want to know, like, if this is possible for the people in this game, what is, like, an average citizen's life like in the yeah. galaxy? Like, can normal people just be like, I'm bored being a Sasquatch. Today I'm going to try being a big troll guy.
Right.
Is this... Because if this technology, if it exists, as in, like, they're in the real world and they can literally turn their bodies into different shapes and stuff, can anybody just do this? Like, this can't be limited to the game space, right? It's... If they're actually changing reality, this technology has to exist outside of this. And the thing that keeps blowing my mind is that, like, typically when we encounter people in a game, we've put limitations on them to play this game, right? You can't touch the ball with your hands, or you have to dribble to get the ball into the hoop, and you got to stay in this court.
Okay. Okay. You mean like sports?
Yeah. But what they're doing is they're saying, hey, we're going to boost you with all kinds of crazy magic shit. Like, people outside the game have to have access to this, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know what's... Cause, okay, so in the genre of lit RPG...
Yeah.
Let's zoom out for a second. Like, a lot of the time there'll be like some overarching system that everyone is equal under, like to start mm-hmm. with, and then you can like level up. But the like system is like a just like godlike figure, right?
Yes.
But in this case, it seems like the like corporation that's putting on these games are like granting them abilities.
Yes. Yeah.
And so like not only the idea of like changing your like race or whatever and to become like a, I don't know, a flying guy or something.
Yeah.
But like can it seems like you would be able to buy like a 100 strength or something like that, you know?
Right. Like there doesn't seem to be any like physical limitations on this, because the thing is, the analog here is a video game, right? Because in a video game, the game designers can just give you points, right? It doesn't, there's no cost to making your character like 99 in every attribute and changing what right. your character looks like. They could just do it willy-nilly. But we're talking, this is the real world. So like, are there limitations? It feels like no.
I don't know. Like this, we've fixed this kind everything. Yeah, this kind of helps with the idea that not this is not like a real thing.
Yeah, yeah,
right. Which I don't want to entertain because that kind of takes the fun out of it.
It does. I guess we should ask before we get too deep into this, Luke. Have you read this before?
I have read this book. Yes. Okay. It's I think that there are a few in the series that I have not read up to yet, so I'm not caught up or anything.
Okay.
But yes.
Okay. But Luke, I have not read these before. Luke has read some of these before. Okay. I just needed to understand where we were operating from, Luke, because I don't think I'd asked you that yet.
Good point. We gotta be honest here.
Mm-hmm. It's a guarantee. Speaking of like the racial decisions, though, I think it's really annoying when people say that these things are permanent, because look, when I was born, it felt like it was permanent. And now you're telling me I can just hit a button and it's suddenly different. So it's not permanent, right. Guys. You're not
right.
I don't believe you.
There's no way it's just like the inherent technology cannot overcome doing this twice.
Right. What are you telling me? There's like a special like warranty seal that once you break it you can't do it again? No, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
And that being said, Luke, you don't choose something that's just like a person.
Oh, you're going well, how far out of the box are you going?
Give me wings. Okay. Give me a venom stack.
We've got to bring the venom sack back, of course. I wish there was a build your own option.
Ooh, like eye of newt, tongue of bat.
Well, it's like pizza, right? You get three toppings or something like that.
Yeah, you just give somebody a set amount of points to like pick different parts. Like, I want the head of a lion and the wings of a dragon and the body of a dragon and the tail of a dragon, and actually the head of a dragon too.
No, you can't do this because you have a set amount of points, and like each dragon part is much more expensive than each like human part, for example.
Right. No. So for each dragon part, like a donkey part is even cheaper, right? So you have to offset your dragon parts with like a donkey and like a snail.
Right. Right. If you want dragon wings, you have to have snail legs.
Yeah, that sounds okay. Actually, if that's how it works, I feel like you gotta stay human. I actually wouldn't take that.
Well, you don't have to go for the extremes. You can still be like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm gonna be tempted by the dragon wings, and that's gonna be like, well, snail legs can't be that bad.
You don't trust yourself once you get the option.
Yeah, once I see that on the menu, I'm like, that should be fine. I'll take it. I'll try it out.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. But yeah, I'm at least tweaking. Like I don't think I'm going too crazy, you know? But like I'm definitely doing a slight variation on human.
Or I mean, or even just like mod your own bod a little bit, right? Like if I can change my literal form at this point.
Well, I don't know if you can do like you're thinking like a full character screen where you're like, I'm gonna change my nose.
Yeah, I want my nose to be turned up and my arms to be really long.
I want the buff option as well.
Mm-hmm, of course.
I don't know if that's a thing. I feel like it's like Luke, you pick the race and then the AI is like, this is what you would look like as this race.
I want to point out here that it's not a limitation of like the world. It's just an artificial limitation that the AI is putting on what you can choose.
Oh, I see.
Because okay. If you can transform your body into a giant like slug creature, you can make your arms like 2 inches longer or.
Sure. Yes. Like in the, like if you have access to the source code or whatever that's powering this machine.
Yeah. Plug in your game genie or something and
yeah.
Pick the buff option.
Do you think that like, I feel like you could do this and they were just like, this is going to take too long if we give everyone the opportunity.
To do this.
So we're going to run the simulation. We're going to pick what you look like for you.
They're doing randomized.
To keep things moving.
They're doing the randomized.
No, not randomized. It's like when you plug in like on some computer program, it's like, what would I look like as a whatever?
Luke.
And the AI does it.
Luke, please tell me how it's translating your human form into like slug creature or whatever.
I don't know. It's an LLM. I don't know what's going on behind the hood.
Yeah, it's a random, Luke. It's random that's coming out.
Okay.
It's got no training data on what a human converted to a slug looks like. And you have no idea what it should look like. So you're not even good at evaluating it.
That's true.
You're not looking at the slug creature like, oh my gosh, it has my nose. That's crazy. You're looking at the slug creature and you're like, oh, blue? Yeah. I'm blue as a slug creature? I don't feel like I'm blue.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, sure. It's random. We can give it that.
Okay. Anyway.
You're going dragon slug is what I'm hearing.
I'm ending up there. I didn't want to end up there, but I am ending up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it feels like a waste to not change. It feels like
your problem is that the longer you look at the options, the worse your ultimate choice becomes.
Yeah. The more insane my body comes out of the other end.
Yeah. You really want the manager benefit to keep you on track.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to be in and out of there in like 10 minutes or less.
Yeah. The manager benefit is huge, by the way.
Yeah, this feels too good once again.
Like, yeah.
I feel like the game relies on not really explaining stuff too well. Because
the
like
game,
if they...
Like the actual game within the book, you mean? Or like the book?
The game. Because okay. I feel like if they explained to every dungeon crawler like what the manager actually was, it would be like, oh, yeah, that's so good. I'm taking that. Because there's not a huge like penalty for it. It's not like they lost a bunch of cool stats to take the manager perk.
Right. More of an opportunity cost maybe like on a different class maybe would have had like +2 to constitution instead of the manager perk. But like those are not comparable.
No, the most dangerous part about this whole thing is you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, so the manager, especially Mordecai, well, I don't know. We don't really know how competent the other managers are, but...
Yeah, maybe they're getting less drunk.
Right. But yeah, this is huge. Great advice from Odette. Okay. I have a note on when we get to the elites story.
Okay. Let's get there.
So what we learn about the, like, I don't know, TV system, whatever.
Yeah.
Is the main thing is the crawl, right? That most mm-hmm. people are turning into. But they also have these like TV series, essentially, that are scripted. But somehow magically they kind of, they're the semi-scripted, let's call them.
Yeah, the quests.
Yeah. Well, not all the quests are in the Elites, like TV shows are not the same thing.
Right, but I thought that the Elites, like their shows were related to the quests.
I think a lot of times, but not always.
Okay.
So, and then they basically have these semi-scripted TV shows that are going on in the background, and then crawlers like occasionally come in and just like no one knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
When the crawlers interact with this semi-scripted TV show. And I have to say, that's good television. I'm in. Are you watching these?
Okay. Because this is like a combination of reality TV and scripted television.
It's like, well, okay, because the scripted show itself is already like a reality TV meeting with a scripted TV show. But then you also throw in the crawlers, which is like another layer of reality TV, but even crazier.
I think I wouldn't like this. Okay. And I feel like I wouldn't like this because I would want to be getting the raw, uncut crawler footage. Like, I don't care about these fake-ass scripted storylines where it's like, we set up this little reunion between this half-elf lady and the ringleader who is like a dad to her. And I would be like, nah, I don't want that. That's not real. You guys designed this. I want to see the crawlers just like bloody and like running through mud and like I just want to see this like raw, and a lot of it's boring too. A lot of it's like them just walking and like eating a sandwich or something, and I'm just like, give me the raw feed of these guys, because that's real. That's nobody, no writer came in was like, how do we get these like a good storyline that's tight and has like a very clear message out of this? Nah, this is just life.
You're more of a live sports over scripted TV kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Famously. That's
me. If you know anything about me, it's that I love to watch live sports.
This is interesting that you would prefer that. I just want to say, this is again where the I think creativity of the author comes into play. But I'm all in on the on the scripted TV with the wild card crawlers mm-hmm. coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you imagine the like I'm gonna not say Twitter because that's not a real thing anymore, but whatever new Twitter is in this world, like I don't know, the community around talking about whatever is about to happen must be awesome.
Yeah, okay, this is actually so true, because like think of the theory speculation about all this. Because not only are you speculating what the writers have in mind, but you're like, what crawler is going to get involved and how they're going to react, and
because the crawlers can just throw a wrench in the plan that no one has any idea what's going to happen.
The crawlers could kill the Elites that are running the storyline. Like that could be how the series ends or the season ends.
Right. It'd be fascinating.
It would be very interesting, Luke. You're right.
I'm just saying it's a good program. I know Carl's having a bad time, but it's great content.
Yeah, this feels to me like if they had Baywatch happening as the same time as like Survivor, and there were a few episodes where they interacted.
Right. That'd be fun. Yeah, a little crossover.
It would make for some good TV, if anybody's listening.
The Hollywood execs.
Yeah, get at us, please.
We're now in contact with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you are being a Hollywood elite now.
Yeah, of course. Just drive on up. Okay.
I want to talk about a little thing, but it wouldn't be a Don't Call It a Book Club without just a little tidbit here that we have to point out.
Okay.
So Carl fights Heather, the bear.
Yeah.
And heals her.
Mm-hmm.
First off, how did nobody think of this before? Anyway, that's not my note.
How did he heal? Like, he threw custard at her?
Yeah, he tried to do a fireball. Instead, custard came out and healed her. And then she was like, basically like, please kill me.
So what? So custard?
Because the thing is, so he had the lottery ticket, right? From his like pack that he got. And the lottery ticket either would shoot out a fireball or healing custard. And the idea is
I didn't realize it was healing custard.
Yeah. You're taking a risk.
Just custard.
When you use it.
Sure.
Okay. So it's like healing custard. Anyway, she's dying and Carl's like, I should give her a quick death because it's only fair. Like, I can't just let her die slowly. I got to give her a quick death. And then he goes up and proceeds to crush her skull with his foot.
Right.
My guy.
What's your point? Are you saying that's not a dignified way to go?
I'm saying maybe we should have a little bit more, a little bit more reverence for our creatures rather than like, well, I do need to continue to level up my foot crushing ability. So I'm going to curb stomp this bear a couple of times to kill it.
Keep in mind he punched her a couple of times and then curb stomped her.
Yes, he did. It's like, well, come on, bud. At the very least, like, light a stick of dynamite and put it in her mouth or something.
That's way better. I will say the crushing her skull with your foot is like very rude.
It's so disrespectful.
If the original reason that you're doing this is like because is to help her, right?
Right.
Like, you're trying to you're killing her for her sake.
Yes.
You can't crush her skull with your foot. That's not correct. Those
you
are not.
You can't do it.
Those are not the same, like within the same category of things. Like, yeah, if you do one, you're not doing the other.
You're not allowed to say you're doing this for her benefit and then do that. Yeah, you're not allowed to. You lose that, right?
You can do like a quick thrust with a spear to the heart or something.
Right, right. Or like a neck break, a quick neck break.
Right, to the bear.
To the bear.
Yeah.
But you can't, yeah, you, come on. So disrespectful. And you have to imagine from the perspective of the bear too. The bear is like slowly dying and they're like, please help me. And then they see the human walk over and put its foot on your skull and you're like, oh dude, oh, man, this is bad. Don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
especially, keep in mind, he's also like in his underwear. So just the optics of this are not. It's not a good look.
He doesn't have shoes, does he?
No, he's not allowed to.
Because he's got an anklet.
Yeah.
So this guy in his boxers just puts this gross bare foot on your head, pun intended. And this sucks. This actually sucks so much. I would rather a slow death than getting my head crushed by
give me the worms. Worm me up over getting crushed.
Take me back, worms.
Oh man. Yeah. This is a good point. So we go to the circus. What's the worst part of the circus for you?
Do you mean the literal circus or in the book?
In the book.
I think it's the ice cream cone, the troll with the worm cone.
It's the ice cream cone that he has to do. Yes.
It's gotta be. I do have a question though, Luke. Have you ever been to a circus?
I actually don't think so.
I have a memory of going to a circus that I don't know if it's real or not.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to make this take right now. I think millennials are the last circus generation.
Mm.
I don't think Gen Z or Gen Alpha are going to the circus. I think circuses are done.
Yes, I think I agree with you. Because like I even feel like, because I'm like just cutting into millennial. Yeah. I don't think I've been to a circus. So I think they kind of died out a little bit even before me.
I'm just going to do a quick Google and see where the closest circus to me is.
Yeah.
Okay. Where is this? Tour dates. All right. There is a circus that's touring.
Okay.
I
don't even know how you like find that.
Okay, nope. This circus is entirely in Florida, which makes honestly tracks so much.
This is a problem because I'm in a much more populated area than you, and I'm seeing a few circuses near me.
That's insane, actually. Who's okay? My take still stands. I'm willing to stand by this. I don't think people are actually going to these anymore.
I'm thinking about going to the circus now.
Whoa! Okay.
I need to go to a circus.
Okay, Luke.
This is a school.
Sorry, what?
Hang on.
Or did you find a clown school?
Yes. Yes. Gymnasium with classes, training, and shows for hand balancing, aerial work, and other circus arts.
That's actually even crazier to me, Luke.
That's even 13-minute drive from me. I could be there soon. Be there before we're done recording.
Bananas, Luke. The fact that you can find a circus school, but you cannot go to a circus very close?
Yeah, that's wild. I don't know where I guess they're touring, though, maybe.
They do. Still. Yeah.
But it's hard to find them, presumably.
Because you got to find one of those like flyers that's hung up on a lamppost somewhere in town.
Yeah,
it's
the only way. Yeah.
Anyway, Luke, I will
it's
say
it's more
I've
like
never...
the circus finds you, actually.
Correct. You just stumble upon it one day.
Yeah.
That's totally a good circus to go into as well. Definitely not ominous at all. I will say, Luke, never been to a circus that gives out a tree before.
Mm.
At one point, Carl talks about the trees that they gave him at the circus that he went to with his mom. Hey, Carl, maybe we should be interrogating if we're an NPC again when we're thinking about them giving you a tree at the circus.
Right. That's a made-up thing. That like
a real thing that happened, yeah.
They don't know a ton about circuses, and they made that up in your brain.
Yeah. Yeah, you're an NPC, bud. You've never been to a circus.
Could be. Someone older than us is going to pipe up in the comments and be like, you idiots who don't go to circuses don't know that that's a very common circus thing.
Actually, it's classic circus culture to give out a tree and a goldfish. All right, cool. Hope your 401k is doing well. Probably is, honestly. You probably have a house, too. Congrats.
Probably, yeah, you homeowner.
Rude.
Got him. Okay. that's my new goal in life, is to go to a circus event. I'm not going to train. I'm not going to go to the class that I found. But I one of these days, I'm going to find a circus and I'm going to report back.
I actually would love to hear about your circus experience. So please do that, Luke.
All right. Stay tuned.
Okay. Well, Luke, in the meantime, while you're off to the circus, we've got another half of a book to read. See how Carl does. Right. So hopefully he makes it. Fingers crossed. I don't know. hopefully he's able to maintain this illusion that he's a real person with a real backstory and not an artificially constructed entity for the sake of the entertainment of people watching.
Right.
But whether he does or not, whether he realizes his reality is a lie or not, Luke and I, like NPCs in a game, will be back next week with plenty of hot takes.
And being dumb nerds.